line, we are heading to the second hour of the show. Also in studio, we are having a chat with the University of Johannesburg Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Chiridz Marwala. This is a special program whereby the VC and Principal, that is our Daddy Dearest, will be joining us from time to time to actually give us an update on the fourth industrial revolution. So we have a question coming through from Mutado. Tato on WhatsApp says, the University of Johannesburg is making claims of being a leader in the fourth industrial revolution technologies. Besides focusing staff and students into research-related technologies, what changes is UJ making to ensure that they meet this objective?
Who was the person again?
Tato.
Thank you very much. And I believe, I assume Tato is from the University of Johannesburg.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe just to talk about what it really means for us to be in the fourth industrial age. It means, first and foremost, preparing our people through teaching, learning, and research for the fourth industrial age. And one of the big characteristics of the fourth industrial revolution is that it requires people with multidisciplinary educational experience. What do I mean by multidisciplinary educational experience? I studied engineering in a city called Cleveland, Ohio, in the United States. And when I was studying engineering, I'm assuming that these people knew that the fourth industrial revolution was going to come. They said you have to take six courses in human or social sciences, one course, six semesters. So I took economics 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then they said you also have to take another six courses in human and social sciences in any course that you want. So I took introduction to acting. I took stagecraft, acting, psychology. That is really what the fourth industrial revolution requires. It requires people who have studied both human and social sciences as well as technology. Now, the question, going back to Tato's question, are we doing that at the University of Johannesburg? Maybe not to the extent at which we are supposed to do. So one of the things that we are now rolling out is actually multidisciplinary components into what you are studying. So we started with the Africa Insights modules, which we require all our students now to take, so that they are able to know a little bit about history, a little bit about psychology, a little bit about politics, and so on and so forth. You know, so I agree with Tato that maybe we are still gearing ourselves. We are gearing ourselves for the fourth industrial revolution. We are not yet in the top gear.
So we have a second question.
Hi, my name is Sihle Khonko, studying multimedia design, third year. My question for today is, so since this fourth industrial revolution has started and people are losing their jobs, is there a way to counter this loss of jobs, because families are suffering?
So talking about, Prof, the loss of jobs, we've seen Standard Bank, also Nedbank, retrenching people. Can you please answer the question?
Yeah. I mean, the president was here on our campus. I think that was a few weeks back. We were celebrating 25 years of democracy. And I spoke, and then he responded. And I spoke about jobs, what is going to happen to jobs in the fourth industrial revolution. Because these machines that we are seeing in industry, whether it is banks, are almost as intelligent as human beings. Companies are tempted to replace human beings with these machines for simple reason that a machine does not get tired. It does not underperform because last night it was in a nightclub and only slept for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know. So there are many advantages of using machine over human beings. Now the question is, and we cannot be able to stop that, because if you are a company based in Johannesburg and you are making T-shirts using human beings, somebody else in China who is using a robot will be able to produce that same T-shirt at a fraction of the cost. So when people go to buy, they don't buy things because they come from South Africa. They buy things because they can afford them and they are good quality. So there is no choice for us as far as adopting new ways of production. Now, what is going to happen to jobs? What is going to happen is that jobs that have little human touch are going to disappear. And many people thought it will be blue-collar jobs. So, like if you go to a bank and you are looking for a loan, you will have some person who will look at how much you earn, and so on and so forth, and now, be able to tell, to decide whether you get a loan or not. That task is better done by a machine than by a human being. Last weekend, I was speaking to at a conference in Cape Town for radiologists. Radiologists are doctors who specifically look at medical images, like when you go and take your X-ray, you know, the specialist who will look at an X-ray and say, no, this means tuberculosis or it means pulmonary embolism, is called a radiologist. Unfortunately, for safety, machines are able to read medical images than even the best experts.
And just to elaborate on that, I mean, not so long ago, we met a robotic humanoid by the name of Pepper here at the University of Johannesburg Library. And we learned that Pepper is being programmed to be a salesperson. Now, when she's fully, well, I'm going to call her a she because she looked like a she. When she's fully programmed, you know, you're just going to give her your ID number and she'll be able to check if you qualify for that particular car that you want and basically do everything that human beings could not do at once.
Absolutely. So basically, machines are better at doing many tasks than human beings. I mean, that is a fact. Machines are more rational than human beings. And by the way, if you really want to know more, you have to wait for my book because I'm going to be publishing a book on machine rationality. So because machines are doing things better than human beings, they are being used for production. Now, what is going to happen going into the future? What is going to happen going into the future is that you are going to have fewer and fewer people who will be needed in the workforce. So, three things are going to happen. Firstly, some jobs are simply going to disappear.
Completely
disappear. And this is not a new phenomenon. The phenomenon of jobs disappearing is old. Apparently, in the 60s and the 70s, if you were to go into an elevator, a lift, there was a person who was employed
to press the lift.
Well, it was not pressing the lift. You used to be doing some weights. It's only when engineers realized that you can design this thing and put numbers and you are able to press where you are going.
Things have changed.
Before, they actually, you know, used to put weights so that if it's going up, you put weights on one side. If going down, you put weights on the other side. And that job is gone. So some jobs are going to disappear. Some jobs are going to change. Like, for example, a radiologist of today will have to work with a machine because a machine is able to do those things better. But if a machine makes a diagnosis, maybe a human being who is a patient will rather be communicating with a doctor than with a machine. You know, so you will need a doctor and a machine. So jobs are going to change. And the third one is that new jobs are going to emerge. Today, and I was just looking at a friend of mine, Wusani Ngaweni, has just sent me an advert of somebody looking for people to come. And these people are going to be cyber security specialists. Cybersecurity specialists was not a job in the 80s. It was not an important job. You know, of course, you had a little bit of computer virus there, and they used to give you a computer, a program to deal with virus called Dr. Solomon. You know, but now you need somebody who is a cyber security specialist. You need somebody who is a data analyst. We never had data analysts. So certain new jobs are going to emerge. Now, when we say we are preparing ourselves, we mean that we are preparing ourselves for the changes that are going to come to the job, to the job specs. And also, we are preparing ourselves for the new jobs that are going to emerge. And many of them, we don't even know what those jobs are going to be. So we have to be ready. If we are not ready, there simply will not be any jobs.
Yeah.
There will be very few jobs.
If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Ego Trip on EJFM 95.4. In studio, we are having a chat with our Vice Chancellor and Principal of the University of Johannesburg, Professor Chuitsi Marwala. We are currently taking your questions. We've got one coming through from V on Twitter, and he's asking, when is UJ going to offer data science as a qualification?
We already offer data science, you know. You see, maybe, you know, you're talking about a BSc in data science. Mm. Yes, you know, then we're going to, we have applied for that. So it's going to be coming soon. But already currently, we have degrees. We have a degree in artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is actually data science. If you do a degree in a master's in artificial intelligence, which we do have, then you are actually ready to be a data scientist. But maybe let me just talk about what data science is. If you go and do a BSc in majoring in computer science and statistics, then you have a data science qualification. Because you can be able to program and you can be able to do statistical analysis. So the formal program called BSc in data science is coming. It's not yet here. It's going to be coming in the next 2 years. And not only a BSc, but we also want, because data science is no longer a technical subject only. Many data scientists don't even go and program using, you know, now people use Python. When I was still a young man, we were using C++ and Java. So you don't even have to be a programmer, because much of the social data, especially that is mined from Twitter and so on and so forth, is social data. It requires people who understand society, who understand, you know, if I wanted to know whether people are happy about the University of Johannesburg and I want to go to Twitter to find out, what search words should I use, is not a technical issue. It is actually the issue of understanding society and people.
We have another question, Prof.
Hi, my name is Melusi Kubera, studying transport at UJ. I'm very excited about industry 4IR. It's I think it's a brilliant concept. Everything getting automated, it shows that we are really moving forward. My only concern is employment. Will it create employment or will it reduce it? And you know the current situation in the country. Okay, my second question would be, what advantages does it offer?
So, Melusi, studying transport, and transport is one of those industries that are revolutionizing. I mean, now I use Uber quite a lot. When I was in Cape Town, I used Uber very, very quick and efficient. It's one of the changes of that is brought about by the fourth industrial revolution. If you had asked me 20 years ago that the biggest transport company in the world will not own a single car. I wouldn't have believed you. Uber does not own those cars, by the way. Normally, the people who drive those cars own the cars, or somebody very close to them own the car, the cars. What Uber does is basically to supply a platform. It basically supply a platform and says to you, if you have your car and you want to use it as an Uber,
then come work for
then us. Then come and register with me. And then, you know, of course, you know, while we were enjoying Uber, somebody realized that you can do the same for houses. It's Airbnb, you know. You know, and now I heard somebody here in South Africa saying that he's doing the same for farmers. That if you are a farmer, maybe you do not need a tractor. You don't need to go and spend half a million rands buying a tractor. What you can do is to, you know, to get somebody who can Uber a tractor. And whenever you need a tractor, it comes and you use it.
That's very clever.
And if somebody else wants it, you go and use it, and you have. Then you know. Then it is cheaper for somebody to pay for the utilization than to go and buy it. And in fact, if you went to farms, you will realize that you have all this sophisticated, you know, equipments that are lying. They are not being used. And of course, it does not have to end up in that, you know. Do I need to buy a lawnmower, for example? You know, can't we do the same? So going back to transport, you are leaving Melusi in an era where transport is actually changing. And your question was, what job? Where are you going to get the job?
Yeah,
you know. And of course, you know, I would say that Melusi, if you have done well, you should think about going to do further studies overseas so that you can be able to globally see the opportunities that you can introduce here at the University of Johannesburg.
So, Prof, we have to wrap up the questions because we have to get into news. But here's another question.
My name is Mike Swanda, studying at STH, Tourism Development. So my question to you would be just how is this generation, our generation, like, how is it going to be affected by the fourth industrial revolution? So basically, in terms of, will we be able to get jobs?
Well, if you prepare yourself for the fourth industrial revolution, you are going to be able to get jobs. If you don't prepare yourself, you don't improve yourself, and you don't look at new ways of doing the things that you have studied, then you are going to be left behind.
But also, Prof, just to interrupt you there in a bit, I mean, for students, right, who are currently in learning institutions, I understand because the curriculum will change and it will accommodate them. But for someone who graduated years ago, in terms of really preparing yourself, in terms of finance, is that being realistic, though?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I'll give you an example. The University of Johannesburg and the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants came together to establish a series of programs that is going to target accountants that are already out there to come and improve themselves. So now we have a course called 4IR and Accountancy, which is going very well. We're going to have launching a course on blockchain and accountancy. And it is targeting the people who are already in industry. And the people who are in these classes are actually quite excited about it. They're actually enjoying it. So the concept of continuously learning is one of the principal laws of the fourth industrial revolution. You always have to be studying, looking for new ideas, because the world is moving very, very fast. I mean, just to give you an example, you know, I've been looking for the picture of my grandmother. I've lost the picture of the grandmother. So I called the National Research Foundation because I know they have it. They took a video in 2004. So I called them and said, please give me, you know, they said, you know, we have VHS cassette. You are young. You don't know what I'm talking about. you know. And then they said, but you know, maybe we can be able to put it in a DVD. They said they don't have the equipment to do that. And if you went to a technical college at that time and you specialize on handling VHS cassettes, you would be out of your job now, isn't it? You know, do you have a video cassette?
No.
Do you even have a VCR? Or maybe no. VCR is still around, you know. But that is really what this is all about. Technology, when technology changes, people no longer use those technological gadgets. So you always have to improve yourself. You always have to look at what technology is coming and prepare yourself. And therefore, the fourth industrial revolution is going to require all of us to be continuously learning.
We hear you, Prof. So it's time for us to get into news with Usandile. When we come back, we're going to ask you the last